Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. As we begin this study in our series, Charting the End Times, this study is titled Pre-Trib Persecution. Every so often we address this topic, and the gist of the study is to refute the false notion among some pre-trib rapture believers that persecution of Christians is not supposed to happen until after the rapture. It is simply an absurd idea that we will debunk as we look at history and current events, as well as the clear statements of Scripture. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, those can be sent by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com, or you can write to us sending your check or money order contributions addressed to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You can also donate at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of your screen, or by using the drop-down menu on the mobile site, bbfohio.com. And we also want to remind you of our radio station, 24/7. Tune in to bbfohioradio.com and tell your loved ones about that site as well, bbfohioradio.com. And now we begin this series, Charting the End Times, with our study, Pre-Trib Persecution, 2019 version. This is part one of two. All right, as you can see from the handout, we're going to get into a study on the second week of the month on Bible prophecy. This week we're going to talk about what we call pre-trib persecution. We're going to call the series Charting the End Times. We'll come back. Current events updates, what we'll start with, as I said, it's related to the study we're going to have. And we're talking about pre-trib persecution. The reason we call it that is because the tribulation period is the 70th week of Daniel. It lasts 7 years. When that begins is when the Antichrist confirms the covenant with Israel and with the nations, allowing Israel to build a temple and offer sacrifice. It'll be Mosaic law for one more week of years. 69 weeks ended when Messiah was cut off, and the 70th week is yet to come. And the reason this study is important is because there are a lot of people who think that because we believe in a pre-trib rapture, wherein the saints, the body of Christ, is raptured before that, that we believe that persecution can't happen. And I guess, evidently, they think it's for America. American Christians can't be persecuted before the rapture. Totally absurd. There's no Bible for that. There's no basis for that. Approaching the rapture, though, we see the predicted increase in what we call anti-Christian persecution. The fact is that what we're seeing right now, not just based on the rapture, or relating to the rapture, but relating to everything that's about to happen, we see the stage being set. Israel being regathered in the land since 1948 in a big way. The preparations for the building of the temple, temple artifacts, the Temple Mount Institute, you can look it up online. The Sodomite revival, Jesus said, as we approach that last 7 week period, it would be as it was in the days of Lot and as it was in the days of Noah. And I don't think anybody needs any real proof that that's taking place. And so along with that, as we approach the rapture, we see an increase in this anti-Christian persecution. Here, this is a headline from a news source online called Christian Headlines. Persecution of Christians meets the definition of genocide. That's a report from the British government. Now, that's worldwide. It's not in America. But worldwide, the persecution of Christians is meeting the global definition for genocide that was established many years ago. The report says that it was prepared for the British government and it was released publicly. It says Christianity is by far the most widely persecuted religion and recommends the government become the worldwide leader in promoting religious liberty. So these are Brits, and the British government is being called upon to become a leader in protecting religious liberties. The report says, quote, how grave does this situation have to become before we act? My answer is, it's just going to get worse. Happy days are here again, you know. But that's just the truth. And Jeremy Hunt, the British Secretary of State for Foreign and Commonwealth Affairs, is the person who I think was commissioned it, yeah. And they have basically a church-state setup over there with the Anglican Church. So they have this Reverend, Right Reverend Philip Mon Stephen, and Bishop, he's the Bishop of Truro, released the report. And it was released back in May. And you may have noticed, if you watched the news, that there wasn't much talk about it. Now, we are warned in the Bible not to be ignorant. But because people have a false idea of what church is supposed to be, they're ignorant. Because when they go to church, they're not being taught anything. Some churches, it's an exercise in, you might call it an exercise in exercise. And it's like running around, speaking in tongues and getting slain in the spirit and all that. And in other places, it's more calm and relaxed, but you're just all you ever, I think they should all just adopt the Beatles song as their theme song. All you need is love. Wah, 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 wah. You know. And that's not Bible either. The Bible says that we are not to be in darkness, we're not to be ignorant, and we're told in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And you need examples of that. Just go back and read church history and history in general. What happened in Germany was that most of the Christians were very lukewarm and they didn't see what was coming. And they had bad theology, so they didn't care about the Jews being mistreated. And one thing led to another. We did a study many moons ago, but I showed the documentation that what we call positive thinking in America today started with the Nazis. And the Nazis set up a fake church, a false church. And it was all positive. And the message wasn't about you being a sinner and needing to be saved by Jesus. It was a message of, we got this wonderful leader, the Führer, and we're going to experience the Third Reich and have a 1,000 years of peace. And it was all just about how positive everything was supposed to be. And that's what's happening in America today. Everything's supposed to be positive, positive, positive. You're never supposed to speak about what's really going on because there's so much negative. But the thing is, what you always have to remember is for all the negative information you hear, the positive is in this book. The positive is that as wicked and sinful as this world is, there's coming a kingdom of righteousness. Jesus will be king. And all this wickedness and sin that's going on an individual level, every individual sinner on planet Earth can be saved. If they will repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing how that Christ died for their sins, was buried and rose again. If they reject that, then they choose to go to hell. But that negative doesn't need to even happen. There's no reason for anybody to go to hell. The remainder of our study will tell us the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. So, let's get right into it. Charting the end times, and you have, those of you who are in attendance here tonight, those who are watching online maybe, You can go to bbfohio.com under resources, Bible charts, and you can download your own copy of this pre-trib persecution chart. Let's read in John 16 to begin. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. 16, beginning right in verse 1. Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." And that means that you won't stumble. And a lot of Christians today stumble because of ignorance, because of lack of knowledge. Now, beginning verse 2 and 3, read that with me. "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." So, a thing to look for as we approach the end are a bunch of religious people who hate Christians and want to kill you. That's what it says. Now, it also, though, notice it makes direct reference to the synagogue. Why? Because this has a dual application. It's not only Jesus is talking about Christians throughout church history, but the reason he says synagogues is because after the rapture, God's back to dealing with the Jews. In those 69 weeks of Daniel, and I encourage anybody who didn't see our study, go online, bbfohio.com, our Daniel studies. And I recommend you go through the whole book with us. But Daniel 9, 24 to 27, we did several studies on that. And you'll understand more of what we're talking about. But the basic idea is that there were 69 weeks that ended with Messiah being cut off. That was Jesus dying on the cross. There's 1 7-year period remaining. And that is after the rapture of Christians. That's why it says they shall put you out of the synagogues. Because it's back to God dealing with the Jews. Now, how could the wicked think that they serve God by persecuting and killing Christians? That's what we call counterintuitive. You think, wait a minute, if I'm going to serve God, I should be a Christian. If I'm going to serve God, I should be get along with Christians. I should be helpful to Christians, right? Well, we already have seen this in history many times. One major example is the Inquisition. The Roman Catholic Church killed millions of people in the name of God. The Roman Catholic Church would find out you were having a Bible study in your home, and they would come in and take everybody in there and take them into basements and dungeons, and they would put you on the rack, and they would torture you to confess to all kinds of crimes and things that you didn't, you know, even do. And then they would hand you over to the civil government, who would kill you. Most of the time, they would set you on fire and burn you alive. Other times, they would strangle you. Other times, they would rip your guts out and let you bleed to death. And most Christians today, not only do we not suffer that, but a lot of people just are too primp and proper to even read Fox's Book of Martyrs to see what happened. I'm not kidding you. We handed out Fox's Book of Martyrs. I think we have a copy here. If not, we're going to have a copy. I just got a smaller copy, real cheap, to put into the library. We handed them out to the whole church. And a lot of these guys, what kills me is Christians, a lot of them will go home and watch movies where people are shot up and cut up and raped. And they'll play video games where people getting blown to bits and everything. And then you hand them a book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. Oh, I can't read that. That's just a little sidebar there on how ridiculous this generation has become. But that's why they're ignorant. They can't read anything like that, so they don't even know that our Christian brothers and sisters for 6 centuries were killed in the name of God by the Roman Catholic Church under the direction of the Pope and the Grand Inquisitor. Now, right now, today, 4 of the 5 worst nations where persecution is taking place are Islamic. They're doing it in the name of God. They're killing people and persecuting people in the name of God. Afghanistan, number two. Number three, Somalia. Number four, Libya. Number five, Pakistan. The number one is North Korea, the communist regime. Well, number six, eight, and nine, Islam. Number six is Sudan. Number eight is Yemen. Number nine is Iran. So number seven is Eritrea. It's a dictator who's nuts, kind of like North Korea. And in India, it's just religious nationalism, and it's a political thing, killing people who don't agree with their politics. Then, 11 through 15, all Islamic. Syria, Nigeria, Iraq, Maldives, Saudi Arabia. 12 of the 15 worst nations on the planet persecuting Christians are Islamic. They're not in the top 15. And these 12 of 15 Islamic countries are killing and persecuting Christians in the name of God. Just like Jesus said it would be. Folks, it's just, you got to let that kind of sink in. These prophecies in this Bible are amazing. You don't get this kind of prophecy in a Quran. You don't get this in a Book of Mormon. You don't get it in the Hindu Bhagavad Gitas. You don't get it in the Satanic Bible. You don't get it in the National Geographic. This book is what it's all about. And as they persecute the quote-unquote infidels in these 12 countries that we talked about, they scream, Allahu Akbar, which means Allah, their word for their God, is great. As they're doing it. In the name of God, they will kill you, and they will think that they do God's service when they do it. Jesus predicted that 2,000 years ago. And it's happening. And the LGBT cult of liberalism, along with apostate Christianity, are becoming equally dangerous threats to Christians in this country and around the world. Now I'm going to show you this. I muted the video you're about to see because of the foul language. But this was in Seattle, Pride 2013. This has been happening every year, but it's rarely caught on film. And this time, there are others caught on film, but this is the best one I could find, where these guys are standing with signs, and they're not just preaching against homosexuality, they're preaching against all forms of sin and calling on them to repent and believe the gospel. They're offering them free literature, free Bibles, and they are physically assaulted by cousin, whatever his name is. Huh? Cousin Eddie? What was the guy on Adam's Family I'm thinking of? The bald guy.
It's where Uncle Fester.
Uncle Fester, yeah. He looks like Uncle Fester, the one guy. And I don't know who this girl resembles, but she's lit. And she's the main reason I had to mute it. She was F-word and GD and everything you can imagine come out of her mouth. And the one guy's trying to stop the girls, but then he turns around and gets involved. And here they finally got a hold of the sign. They rip it down, trying to pull the pole out of the guy's hand. Now watch this. Here comes Fester and decks him, beating him.
Which one won? Which one were you betting on?
Well, I'm betting on the cops, and you'll see why in just a minute. You know, this is why it's, you know, important to be able to defend yourself. Because when seconds counts, the police are only minutes away. But they do show up. And I don't think there's any more foul language from that point on, so I ended the mute. And as you can see, they're going over to talk to Fester and his girlfriend. He's dead. He don't care. Now watch this. Mommy, she got a little baby with her acting like that. Got a little stroller. Somebody was watching her baby for her. Fester is getting a civics lesson from the police officer. So that's just one example of if you go down to Columbus Pride Fest in June, and I haven't gone, I know men who have, and Charity Baptist sends people down there every year. They spit on them, and they throw things at them, and they cuss them, and they yell at them and everything, but there's always cops around to keep from getting that out of hand. So that's the spirit of the pride. Do a Bible study on pride sometime. Pride. You know, the whole month of June is pride. God says He hates pride. And they increasingly harass Bible believers in the name of God. You say, wait a minute, who are you talking about? Change the subject? No, I'm talking about the LGBT movement is more and more harassing Bible believers like us in the name of God.
What's the guy
that was... Yeah, the guy running for president, Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah.
And when they do, we obey Paul's admonition where we're told in Titus 1:13, this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. In other words, if they're claiming to be Christian or claiming to be religious or whatever, and you try to reason with them, and if they won't listen, you rebuke them. And that's what's not happening today, folks. Today's Christians have been taught love, L-O-V-E, means that you don't obey the Scripture. Love means you never rebuke them. Love means you never offend them. And that's you're serving Satan's interests as long as you remain silent. When you look at, I don't care, it's not just, obviously it's not just LGBT, I'm talking about anybody who's lost. You're looking at somebody who's going to burn forever in a lake of fire. If you love them, you're going to want to urge them to repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ in that gospel. If you don't, if you know somebody who is in rebellion against God, I don't care if they're homo, or they're a thief, or just a habitual liar, or maybe they're a decent person, but they just reject Jesus Christ. If you love them, you're going to do what? You're going to tell them the truth. And if they then persist and begin to try to actually teach their view that is against Scripture, then you're to rebuke them sharply. You don't even have to raise your voice or anything. I'm not telling you to yell and scream. I'm saying you should just look at them and say, listen, you're preaching the doctrine of hell. And I didn't show, I've got screenshots. This guy called, he has a website. I believe it's the same guy, but on YouTube, Gay Christian 101 is what he calls himself. And he came to our channel and replied and said, being gay is not a sin. And I responded, I said, you're not a Christian. I'm paraphrasing my exact words, but I said, you're in rebellion. You're reprobate. You're damned. You're not gay. You're not happy. And then he come back and said that he hated me with a perfect hatred. And I said, listen, I want everybody like you to hate me. Because their hate is based on simply me telling them the truth. And when they're, I told him this, when you're in hell forever, remember I tried. And that's what's going to happen with a lot of people. But sadly, I'm not saying this to be overly condemning. I hope this doesn't come off as condemning, but I don't know who you talk to and how you talk to them, but I'm telling you this, if you've got loved ones who are gay, if you've got loved ones who are lost in any way, shape, or form, and you won't tell them the truth, then forever and ever and ever in hell, they are going to be screaming your name and saying, why didn't you tell me? Think of that. I'm not talking about the guy, you know, you go to the grocery store and you forget to give the guy a tract at the he was a cashier or something like that. Don't get nutty about it. But there are people you've known for a long time and they're lost and you don't confront them. I've confronted people in my own family and then got other families mad at me for doing so. You know what I respond to them and tell them? Exactly what I just told you. If they go to hell, no blood on my hands, and they aren't going to be screaming my name for eternity, they'll be screaming yours. And I hope that keeps them up at night. We're to speak to them as reprobates, according to Romans 1. Turn over there, Romans chapter 1. Verses 24 through 28. And I just want you to... I'll read a couple verses, and then you can join me. 24 says, "Wherefore, God also gave them up." That's when we say reprobate. God has given them up. How many of you heard that a person can be saved until their dying breath? Not true. The thing is, we don't know who that is, so we preach to people until they take that last dying breath. But the Bible makes clear here and in various other places. Go read Proverbs 1, which is across the board in every dispensation, the way God treats people. God will hand you over and you're done before you die if you go so far. It says right here, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Why did He give them up? Not because of their sexual sin. Their sexual sin itself was a judgment. You realize that? Queer sex, as this is what they like to call it, is judgment. Right here. God gave them up, and that's why they do it. It's what it says. Do we need to have a debate? Is that clear? God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. He didn't put the lust there. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. What? Here's why He gave them up. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. That's anybody who says it being you can be a Christian and be gay, for example. People who say you can be a Christian and not believe in the gospel. There's churches out there who say, you know, well, you're Christian by keeping the Ten Commandments or, you know, the Beatitudes. You know, that's... You're changing the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. Worship the creature, meaning self. Self-worship. Self-love. Selfish. Not shellfish. Selfish. Now read 26 through 28 with me. "For this cause God gave them up." Wait a minute. There it is again. You just ask the question, how many times does God have to say something before people believe it? Read it again. "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." I'll stop there for a second. That's that loud mouth.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.